Amen, amen. Rich, would you mind getting my clicker remote behind the curtain there? Someone will give that to you. I failed to pick that up. It's been one of those mornings, friends. Mercy. I had some enemy attacks on the technology, and you know, it's amazing how sometimes files can just miraculously get raptured. And so had to fix that early this morning, and then, you know, somehow your shoes get raptured. And so I'm wearing my son's shoes. It's a good thing I've got three sons and not three daughters. I might be here in some pumps today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, guide us, change us. I pray that we might experience reconciliation today, that we might be changed as a result of the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "He who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" How many things new? All things new. So today we finish a three-part series, a short series on the subject of reconciliation. Reconciliation is so fundamental to the gospel, and Paul tells the church in Corinth and us today that really the gospel and the entire narrative scripture is really a message of reconciliation. The ultimate goal, okay, we need to understand this. The ultimate goal of reconciliation and forgiveness is so that all things can be made new. It's so that God can make all things new. And so in Corinthians 17 and 18, now we've been reading 18, 19, and 20 throughout this series, but I've been leaving 17 out on purpose because 17 is the reason why 18, 19, and 20 are so important. Reconciliation. Notice, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Yes, creation. And I know King James put creature there, but the Greek is not creature, it's creation. Because you see, God did not recreate the earth in an instant, and he's not going to recreate your life in an instant. He saves you in an instant, but he recreates you over a period of time. It's a process. Recreation is a process. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. All this, continuing, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is so important because that's what enables us to become new creations in Christ. Because Christ forgave you, really, your history is now his story. I should have gotten at least 10 amens, 5 hallelujahs, and 3 praise the Lords. The message, my subject, is behold, I'm making all things new. Behold, I am making all things new. We've seen through this series that reconciliation is restoring something. It's not, when you forgive someone, you don't just say, well, I forgive you, but I'm going to hold you hostage for the next millennia. It doesn't say, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to make your life a living misery. That's not forgiveness. No, biblical reconciliation is restoring. You know, we looked at the subject of Joseph, and you know, Joseph, when he forgave his brothers, he actually restored them as though that never had happened. Now, it took some time for the brothers to trust him, didn't it? In fact, they still did not believe that he had their best interests at heart. And after their father died, they're like, oh boy, now he's going to have it out for us. But real reconciliation doesn't seek revenge. Real reconciliation restores something to its original factory sealed condition before the breakdown, before the breakup, before the betrayal, and before the bad news. Jesus says, hallelujah, I am making all things what? New. New. You are a new creation in Christ. In Romans 5:12, it says that when sin entered the world, it brought death. When sin came, death came with it. And so death spreads to everyone, for everyone has sinned. So in Romans, Paul says, when sin came, death came with it. And that's why in Revelation, when God really completely makes all things new, the last thing to go is death and sin. Death, sin brought death. Creation is now subjected to frustration. Creation is now subject to decay. Because of sin, I hate to break it to you guys, just in case you don't know, teenagers, eventually, you're going to get old and wear out. Because of sin, everything eventually breaks down. I mean, I'm blown away by how quickly things go obsolete. Every year, you got to get a new phone. Every year, you got to get a new computer. You know, the second a computer is sold, it becomes therefore obsolete, right? Every year, a new car. Come on, everybody likes that new car smell, amen? You know, new, and that's because everything breaks down. Given enough time, everything eventually wears out, runs out, fills out, or falls out. And the older you get, come on, your hair gets thinner where you want it, and it gets thicker where you don't want it. You know? Never in my million years as a kid would I have thought that I would find a hair growing on my ear. Teenagers, it's coming. It's coming. It happens. Have you ever woken up in the morning and looked in the mirror and thought to yourself, mercy, I am falling apart? We all have. And if you've not gotten there yet, just wait. And so that's why we do all kinds of things to try to stay new, don't we? Yeah, we buy the new clothes, we get the new car, we get the new diet. You know, this year, carbs are bad. Next year, carbs are good. You know, new diets, new therapists, new technology, new hairstyles, new gym routine. You don't need a new gym routine. You just need to do a gym routine you haven't yet done. You do know why people wear makeup, don't you? Makeup is trying to make your eyelids and eyelashes and your eyebrows to look like they did when they were brand new. Next time that you're in the store, I want you to go to the moisturizing section. If you ever go to Walgreens or CVS, they've got this section. It's the moisturizing area for your skin. And have you ever read some of the names and descriptions of this stuff? It is absolutely ridiculous. Age-defying serum. You know, there is no such thing as an age-defying serum. Wrinkle eraser. I wish it was that easy. Age blocker. You know, and they sell this stuff, and when you look at the price, it's expensive. You know, you'd think they found the fountain of youth, and they bottled it, and based on the price, they did. But then you look at the ingredients, and basically, it's a glorified lotion. It's a glorified sunblock. But you know, lotion, sunblock doesn't sell. Youth sells. Why? Because deep down we know eventually we're going to wear out. And that is why the message of reconciliation is so powerful to humanity. That's why the message of Jesus making all things new resonates within our heart. Because when God created us, He imprinted us with eternity. And so until we experience the eternity of God, we will want more, more, more. Nothing will ever satisfy us. Jesus says, behold, I'm making all things new. Now, there's something important to understand that in the Greek, the two words that are used most when it deals with making things new is a word kainos and a word naos. Those are the two words in Greek that are used most. There are others, but they're usually derivatives from those words. Now, naos means fresh, young. It's not been around long. Naos is talking about that new wine that was just crushed. Okay, that's naos. But kainos, which is also translated new, isn't talking about the age of something or the freshness of something or the duration of something. Kainos is talking about the quality of something. It's a word that means unknown. It's a word that means strange, remarkable, only recently discovered. It may be new to you, but it's not new as far as it is, as far as it exists. According to Revelation 21, in Christ, check this out, we can have the kainos without the naos. Which seems crazy to us. Because in this world, in the things that we produce, in sinful humanity, you have to be naos, you know, literally, physically new, in order to have the kainos. Something has to be young in order to be new. But in Christ, we can become newer the older we get. That's good news, amen? The older you get, the newer you can become. I should have heard some married couples shout hallelujah. Our marriages can become newer and stronger the longer we're married. We live in a world culture that is a throwaway culture. Ah, didn't work. I got a dud. Now it's time to get rid of it. Gonna go get me a new and improved model. There ain't no new and improved model. The only new and improved you need is you. Our marriages can grow bigger and brighter and more vivid the older we get. You know how when you do Bible study, or maybe you heard it in a sermon, but you'll read a verse a million times, but then one day you're studying it and then something new hits you? That's kainos. That's God's newness. It's been around for eternity, but it's being born in your life. It's kainos without the naos. Behold, I am making all things new. Kainos. Behold, you are a new creation. Kainos. You see, reconciliation, friends, is all about making things new. It's allowing new beginnings. It's allowing things to grow stronger than they were before. And so today we're going to look at two things. When it comes to God making all things new, first, there's a newness we have now. Secondly, there is a newness that is coming. First, we're going to talk about the newness that we have right now. Philippians 1:6 tells us, check this out, that he who began a good work in you, hallelujah, is going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's going to finish his work in you. But there is an important implication and application to this text. There's an important word. The key word is he who began a good work in you. You see, before something can ever finish and be made complete, it has to first begin. Amen? I want to be clear about something. Man, I am a Seventh-day Adventist through and through. I was born into the church, yes, but then I left it and I searched just about every other religion and experience you can experience to find that ultimate truth. And that search just led me right back to the place that I had left. I believe in this church, not because of its name and not because we like to say that it's important, but because I haven't found a church that teaches as much Bible as I've found this church to teach. And that's why this is the last church on the block for me. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of other good churches and good people, and God's got his remnant in every church and denomination down through time. But what I'm saying is, I've not been to a church that goes everywhere in the... There is no place in this book we're afraid to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm proud to be an Adventist. And Adventist is right in our name, so we believe in the second coming of Jesus. Amen? I believe Jesus is coming really soon. But, and don't allow this but to become a prevention from you doing what's right. But, because scoffers have said this. Peter talks about scoffers saying things like this. But it's important. I believe Jesus is coming soon more than ever in my life, but so has every generation since the disciples. The disciples thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. My grandmother believed Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And just like Peter says, sometimes us scoffers can say, well, they've been saying this forever, and I don't think it's going to happen. Hallelujah, one day it's going to happen, and I want to be ready for when it happens. Every generation since Jesus left feels like the time is now. But this is what I'm getting at. We don't just need the newness that's coming. We need a newness right now. The fact is, some of our budgets and finances will not make it till Jesus comes. You need a little newness in your finances right now. Friends, some of our marriages aren't going to make it another year if something doesn't change. Yeah, when Jesus comes, all things will be made new completely, perfectly, but you need some newness right now in your marriage. Our churches need some of God's newness now. Our homes need some newness, right? Don't make your children be subjected to living arguments and insecurity and your issues. Don't let them live with that for the next however many years before Jesus comes. You allow God's newness to come into your heart right now. There is a newness that is available right now. Jesus says, behold, I'm making all things new. The verb making here is in the present tense, friends. It is active. It is indicative. It is the present progressive. Jesus doesn't say, I will make all things new. Jesus says, I am making all things new. Right now. Jesus says, I'm working in your marriage right now. Jesus says, I'm working on your job situation right now. I am working on your salvation right now. I am beginning that process in your life so that when I return, I'm just finishing it. I don't just begin it. If we wait for the end to allow the reconciliation to begin, we would have waited too late. There is a newness available to us now. Revelation was not just written with our church. Revelation was not just written for you. Revelation was originally written to the original audience, and it was also written for every generation since that audience. Revelation is relevant for everyone, amen? Yes, it's especially a blessing for the church in the end times, but it's been written for everyone. Revelation 1:19 says, check this out, write down what you have seen, okay? Things that are now happening and things that will happen. Check it out. Revelation was written for the not yet and the right now. Man, come on, I wish some people would get excited in here today. I'm saying Jesus is making all things new in your terrible situation right now. Eschatology, you know, that's a word preachers use to make themselves sound like they know what they're talking about. Eschatology, it's a word taken from two Greek words, and that is study and last. Eschatology is the study of last things. But check this out. Eschatology is not only about the future, it's also about the presence of the future in the right now. You're going to understand what I'm saying in a second. Jesus says, I am who is, who was, and who is what? See, Jesus is present in your, he's present in your past, healing and forgiving you. History, your history is becoming his story. Jesus, according to this, is present in your present, giving you power to live another day, giving you breath to breathe, but he's also at your future when he finishes everything in your life. I want to see, listen, I want what God sees for my future in my life right now. I want to love people like I'm going to love people in eternity. I want to serve people like I'm going to be serving people in eternity. I want to treat people like I'm going to be treating them in eternity. I want what God sees for my future in my life right now. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It doesn't say will come. It says has come. How can God begin making? How can God, you know, finish the work if he never began the work? How can God begin making all things new in my life right now? Well, this is an important detail, friends. If you want the newness of Christ now, the kainos of Christ, it has to come from one place, and that's the throne of God. We saw it in our text. I don't know if I got it in here. Yes, Revelation 21:5. What does it say? Jesus, he who is seated on the throne, says, "Behold, I am making all things new." The kainos of Christ comes from his throne. Friends, the reason why everything is wearing out is because of sin. And sin originated in the heart of an angel who was made perfect but became evil, named Lucifer. You see, friends, sin is not breaking the rules. Sin is cosmic treason against the Lord of the universe. Okay, so this is when sin started. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the most, what? The devil wanted to sit on God's throne. Most problems in this world and in your life can be traced back to people wanting to sit on God's throne. You see, we want Christ to make all things new just without having to give up our control. Right? Yeah. We want Christ to make all things new. We want the freedom of reconciliation without the sacrifice of submission. According to this text, it ain't going to happen, friends. The newness of Christ must come from his throne. In Romans 12:1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All right, and he continues. He continues and he says, do not be conformed to this what? But be transformed by the renewal of your what? That word renewal is important. That by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. The root word for renewal here is, you guessed it, kainos, new. New. I can almost guarantee you, the areas in your life and this world that are falling apart the most, that are wearing out the quickest, is the areas where you have surrendered the least to God. And so, friends, if you're not seeing the progress that you want to see, you don't have a power problem. The same power the disciples had is available to you. You don't have a power problem. You have a management problem. The wrong person is sitting on the throne. The reason the church isn't seeing victories that like it should in the world, and we've not finished the work to go home, is too many of us, too many preachers, elders, deacons, anyone, thinks they are the center of the universe instead of Jesus Christ. If you're not seeing the progress you want, it's not a power problem, it's a management problem. If you want God to begin making all things new, you got to get off God's throne, because that's where the newness of God comes from. You got to take your hands off of your life and you got to lay it at the hands of Jesus. Notice this verse says all things. I am making all things new. Everything. Not some things, all things. And I'm beginning it right now. See, you need help with all things. You don't just need help with some things. You need help with all things. That bumper sticker says, God is my co-pilot, give me a break. God shouldn't be your co-pilot. He's got to be the pilot, and you should be in the back somewhere. You shouldn't even be in first class. You should be in coach. The reason we're not seeing reconciliation like we should, bottom line, we're not willing to let go. We're holding on to that anger. We're holding on to that control. Jesus says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? If you want to see God do a new thing, you've got to stop doing the same thing. God cannot make all things new with you continuing doing the old thing, old behavior. He cannot resurrect your marriage when you keep doing the same old stuff. God cannot reconcile what you will not surrender. He cannot recreate what you will not release. Making all things new is contingent on putting all things in His care and lordship of your life. You got to let go of it and let God take hold of it. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about your mouth. I'm talking about your money. You know, I loved what brother shared about our money, but God doesn't just want, sometimes we don't give when it feels good. We have to give when it doesn't feel good too. Because you see, He's in charge of the money, I'm not. And what I want to do with my money sometimes isn't the right thing. You got to surrender your money, your bad temper, your politics, everything. Ephesians 1:4 says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be what? Holy. That we would be what? Blameless before Him. So what God planned for us in the beginning, He wants to begin right now in our life. Let God's future for you come into your present problem. You see, that's why I keep the Sabbath. I keep the Sabbath not because I'm trying to earn salvation, because guess what? Salvation can come from only one place, and that is the grace and gift of God. I keep the Sabbath because, you see, God gave it before sin, and God says we're going to be keeping it after sin, and I want some of that future life in my broken life now. I want some of that complete rest breaking forth in my broken, worry-filled work oriented life. You see, I eat right not because I think it makes me holier. I eat right because I am allowing God to prepare me for heaven. I promise you, if you would submit your diet under His throne, you're going to have a better quality of life than you've ever had before. Period. Now, don't get me wrong, it may not be perfect, and don't fall into the trap of thinking God loves you more and you're better than that person who eats that. No. It may not be perfect, but I promise you, it's going to do things in your life. It may not be perfect, but friends, I don't know about you, I can take all the newness I can get because this world is wearing out. You see, I want the presence of my future to begin being born in my present right now, and God says that you can have that. Now I want to be clear, you can do everything right and things can still go incredibly wrong. You can follow the health message to a T and still get cancer. Christianity doesn't promise a life free of pain, but it does promise a presence and power the problems and pain cannot take away. Which leads us to our last point. The newness that is coming. Have you ever seen a huge, big, bright moon and you're driving home and you're like, man, that's incredible. And so you get out your phone or whatever you have and you take a picture of the moon and you're like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And then you look at it on your phone. Let me ask you, how did that look? It looked ridiculous. It looked like a tiny little white speck. Recently, I posted a picture as I was flying into Portland, Oregon, and I saw Mount Hood, beautiful. I took a picture of it, and the picture was kind of cool, but it didn't do it justice. You see Mount Hood in person, and it is breathtaking. So think about it. If sin had not interfered and introduced decay, I want you to imagine what the mountains would look like. I want you to imagine, what would the oceans look like? What would the air smell like? Imagine what people would be like. Imagine what marriage would be like. Imagine what the arts and sciences would have achieved. They think they're people of progress. They're actually people of regression, not progression. John Bradford was an English martyr who died being burned at the stake. Notice what he said. If this universe with all of its canyons and seas and skies and beauties and infinities and immensities, if this nature is what God gives to his enemies, which the Bible tells us because of sin we became enemies of God, if God gives this to his enemies, which is what most of humanity is, what kind of world is he going to give to his friends? And that's why Paul says we see things imperfectly now, like puzzling reflections, but let me see, I missed that. I missed my text here. The text that I wanted to have in there before this one is 1 Corinthians. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. So friends, I want you to have hope. When you turn on the news, it may be hard to believe that one day Christ is going to come and he's going to completely restore this earth. When you turn on the news, it may be hard to believe that one day ethnicity will not rise up against ethnicity. Nation will not rise up against nation. No more racial fighting. No more political debating. We're going to be worshiping together. We're going to be walking together. We're going to be living in perfect peace and harmony. This doesn't mean we say, well, one day God's going to make all things new, but until then, I'm going to be the Facebook advocate for my presidential opinion. No, you're supposed to be an advocate for Jesus Christ and his glory. The way you love people who don't agree with you can lead people to Jesus. This doesn't mean one day he'll make it right, but until then, I'm going to work against Jesus. We do the right thing right now. The true followers of Christ already have the future reality of God's kingdom in their present lives. But when justice falls short, and it will, when tragedy occurs, when that dear saint comes up to you and says something that hurts you, when that dear saint acts more like a demon than an angel, when everything in this world that you do it seems to be falling apart and your kids are going out in the world, I want you to remember that that's because you live in the now and the not yet. There is a newness coming that no one can stop. There is a newness that's coming that even death cannot stop. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed. That word consider means calculate. It means to think about something. It's a word that means to add up, reconcile. Paul is saying that when bad things happen in your life, when you're not seeing the kainos of God's kingdom as quickly or as completely as you would like, Paul says, I consider this. I think about that. I add it up. I do the math. And the pain that you're experiencing right now doesn't hold a candle to the joy and the peace and the happiness that's on its way. Friends, Jesus will finish reconciling what sin ruined. Relationships will be made completely new. Our bodies will be made completely new. Our minds will be made completely new. You see, the original audience of Revelation, think of what they saw when Revelation was written. And there's different opinions on that, but most people believe it was written around AD 80. Think of what the original Christians have recently gone through. They've seen Jerusalem burned to the ground. They've seen their temple taken from them. Many of them were burned on the stake, crucified. Their kids were killed, fed to animals. So what does Jesus do? Jesus gives John a vision of what's coming. A new Jerusalem. Okay, so Rome burned down this Jerusalem. There is a new Jerusalem, Kainos Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. There will no longer be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. and night will be no more, and they will not need light or a lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light and will reign forever and ever. You see, they may have taken your temple, but they cannot touch your God. They can take our homes, but they cannot touch my home in glory land. They can take your life, but they cannot take my salvation. And one day, very soon, friends, he is going to wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, crying, pain anymore. The former things have completely passed away. Your biggest problems are passing away. The Alzheimer's and the dementia is passing away. The bad debts and the bill collectors are passing away. The politicians, thank you, Jesus, is passing away. The tears are passing away. In the movie The Passion, there's this scene towards the end. Jesus is on his way to Calvary, and he falls under the weight of the cross. His mother sees him, and she thinks back to the many times she saw Jesus fall. And so she, like any mother would have done, as mothers have done for their children for thousands of years, she runs to him. Jesus is completely exhausted, burdened by the weight of the cross and the weight of our sins. And he looks at his mother, and as the music comes to a powerful crescendo, he says, "See, mother, I make all things new." And of course, we know if you read John or you read any of the Gospels, you're not going to see it there. But we do see it in the fifth Gospel, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, that's because the cross is all about reconciliation. Look at what Jesus did to reconcile you and give you a message of reconciliation. He is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Right now, I want you to ask Jesus to begin making all things new in your life right now. You have to surrender it under the foot of the cross right now. Reconciliation cannot happen unless you start surrendering it under the throne of God. Reconciliation will free you, but it has to begin right now. Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new right now." And I love that last phrase. He says, "Also, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is something you can build your life on. This is something that should revolutionize your life. You can trust Jesus more than you can trust anyone. Surrender everything under the foot of the cross. Allow Jesus to begin making your life new, your marriage new, your theology new. Allow Jesus to begin revolutionizing the church so we can finish the work, and that all ultimate newness can come and recreate things, reconcile things once and for all. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, we've been in a journey on reconciliation, which is not easy. It's hard to forgive someone. It's hard to really let it go and allow them to become new in our lives. But Lord, reconciliation is where the freedom is. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us, your children, that reconciliation is the central theme of the gospel. That we were reconciled, and now we work to reconcile people to Jesus. We work to reconcile relationships. We work to reconcile the brokenness in this world. We don't just wait until you finish all things. We allow you to begin things right now. Lord, maybe there's someone here that has never surrendered their life fully, or maybe they went out there in the world and now they realize they've got to be reconciled to you. They've got to reconcile their past. But before they can do any of that, as we saw in the second sermon with Peter, we have to first be reconciled back to you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here in this church that wants you to begin all making things new right now, Lord, they'll make a decision for baptism. They'll make a decision to commit to the gospel, to put everything under your throne so that your newness can come and pour into their life. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that lives will be saved for eternity today, that you will begin making all things new in each of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to celebrate each new life, each changed life that we see. We thank you. We praise you for reconciling us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.